You are listening to Telling Tales here tonight at 104.3. And I'm going to have a guest, for sure one, possibly two, from Wushkanidee. And they're going to be here soon, so we'll give them a moment. But until then, I found something that I wanted to share with you. It's actually out of a book by Miss Maya Angelou. It's called Letter to My Daughter, and I will share that with you in just a moment, and hopefully you'll be staying tuned to 104.3 here at Juneau, Alaska, and Telling Tales with Ms. G. This is Ms. G. I'm back with Telling Tales here at 104.3 in Juneau. And one of my guests has shown up. I think the other one's on their way in. But until then, I would like to read you this little excerpt from Maya Angelou's Letter to My Daughter. In the Valley of Humility. In the early 70s, I was invited to speak at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem. The school had only recently been integrated. I told my husband that the visit interested me. He was a master builder and had just signed a large contract, so he could not accompany me. I called my close friend in New York, Dolly McPherson, said she would meet me in Washington, D.C., and we could travel south together. My lecture was well received at the school, and before I could leave the building, the students came up to me and asked me to meet with them. I went with Dolly to the student lounge, where there, the students crowded in on every sofa, chair, stool, and pillow on the floor. They were pointedly separate with the black students seated down front in a group. There was no hesitation in offering questions. One young white male said, "I am 19. I am going to be a man, but strictly speaking, I'm still a boy. But that guy there," he pointed to the black student, "gets mad if I call him boy. And we're the same age. Why is that?" I waved at the black student. "There he is. Why not ask him?" The black female student said, "I went to a good high school where I graduated valedictorian. I speak good English. Why do they," she nodded to the white students, "think I need them to speak to me in accents so thick I can hardly understand?" I asked her to tell me how she was spoken to. She said, "They say, hey, y'all. How y'all doing? Y'all okay?" She spoke with such an extreme, exaggerated southern accent that everyone laughed. I said, "They are right there. Why don't you ask them?" As they began talking to one another, I realized that I was being used as a bridge. The parents of those students had never had a language which allowed them to speak to one another as equals. And now their children were creating a way which would allow them to have a dialogue. I sat with them until midnight, encouraging, abetting, and urging them to speak. When I stood exhausted, Tom Mullen, the dean of Wake Forest College, came to me with an offer. Dr. Angelo, if ever you want to retire, we welcome you to Wake Forest University. We will gladly make a place for you. I thanked him politely, knowing that I would never come to the South to live. The next morning, Dolly and I were taken to the airport early enough to have breakfast in the cafe. We were given a table and ordered breakfast. We sat unserved for more than 30 minutes. I noticed that she and I were the only black customers in the restaurant. I told Dolly, "Sister, prepare to go to jail, because if these people don't want to serve us, I am going to turn the place out." She said calmly, "All right, sis." I called the waitress over, a white, lanky young woman. I said, "My sister ordered a cheese omelet, and I ordered bacon and eggs 30 minutes ago. If you don't want to serve us, I advise you to tell me so, and then call the police." The young woman was immediately solicitous. Speaking in her soft North Carolina accent, she said, "No, ma'am, it's not that. It's just that the chef ran out of grits. He can't serve breakfast without grits. See, half of the people on this side are not eating. The grits will be ready in about 10 minutes, and then I will serve you." She pronounced the word grits as if it had two syllables, grits. I felt the ninny of all times. My face became hot and my neck burned. I apologized to the waitress somehow, and Dolly McPherson controlled herself and did not mention my stupidity. When I returned to my sturdy home and steady husband, I told everyone about the school, the students, and the offer. I did not mention the airport drama. Yes, that is Miss Maya Angelou from Letter to My Daughter. And in the studio with me is Bill Merck. Bill, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that wonderful story I just read.
I love Maya Angelou. That's just fabulous. Her sense of humility is just amazing, and yet such a strong voice.
I know. It really was amazing. When I was looking for something, I mean, ever since she passed, everyone has been reading her poetry and quoting her, and that's fine. I think that's wonderful that people who didn't even know who she was now realize they've been reading her stuff. But I found this book in my study. I'm ashamed to say it's brand new. I've had it at least 6 months, and I had not cracked it open. And when I decided I wanted to read something of hers, this is what I cracked open. I didn't do I Know Where the Caged Bird Sings and all the many other poetry books that I have of hers. I said, I need to look at something new. And this book has in it is wonderful incidences of where she was just so human. And right. She had foibles. Right. And she grew from them. And that's what she's always told all of us is, you know, grow from your mistakes and become a better person. And so.
Warts and all, right?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. And that was one of her warts. And I love that. And as we know now, that that place in North Carolina, she that became her home. And that became the last place that she lived her life, Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem. So she did go back after thinking she would never live in the South again.
Isn't it interesting how you find the book you're looking for when you need it, right?
Exactly. When you're not looking. That's
usually
how I find it. So we're talking with Bill Merck from Wooshkin ID, and he has some things to tell us. Would you like to tell us now, or do you want to wait for Jackie?
We could build it up until she gets here.
Okay.
I know she's on her way. So.
Okay. All right. Let's build it up then. So this coming Friday on the 11th, July 11th, is an event.
It is. Typically, we do our open mic and poetry slam on the third Friday of the month, mm-hmm. but there was a scheduling challenge this month, and so we decided to go the second Friday, so that's the 11th this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We're recreating something we did last year in July, which was to host a barbecue out at Auk Rec. So we're doing that. We're inviting everybody to come out, enjoy the poetry, get to talk to the poets, the writers, talk to each other, bring a salad if you want, bring some chips. We'll be barbecuing just, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, pretty basic stuff like we did last year. And then we'll have the open mic out there at the large shelter at Auk Rec, and then we'll do the competitive portion and just sit down, and hopefully it won't be raining too hard, but we'll be somewhat sheltered from the rain anyway.
Right.
So Anyway, we welcome everybody out. We'd love to see you. It is Jackie's final event, we think. She may be back in October. She's trying to make a schedule for that, trying to plan that. But she is going on to grad school in, I believe, Upper Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will be her last event. She will be co-hosting with NAMI, Christy Erickson.
Great.
Who hasn't hosted for a little while. So I'm very anxious to see the rapport that those two have. It should be very interesting evening.
Wow. Well, it sounds wonderful. So there's poetry, there's nature, there's Call of the Wild, and you'll find out how much of your audience is not fair weather, or is fair weather.
This is true. This is true. Oh, we had a pretty good turnout last year. So again, we had 30, 40 people last year, which was great. That's a fantastic showing for that venue. The potluck starts at 5:30, and then we'll do the sign-ups for open mic at 6 and competitive side as well. And then we'll start the show at 6:30.
Great. Well, that sounds wonderful. And so we're gonna take a little break here, and then give Bill a chance to get ready, because he's gonna share a poem with us, I think.
I do have something I can share, and then I'll also run downstairs real quick and see if I can find where Jackie's at.
Okay, that sounds good. So we're gonna take a little break, give you some music to listen to, and we'll be right back here at Telling Tales with Ms. G and Bill Merck. And my guests tonight, we have Mr. Bill Merck. He is with Woosh Can ID, and he has a wonderful poem to share with us. Mr. Bill.
Thank you very much. No pressure on that, right?
None at all.
None at all. All right. You're very kind. All right. Memories of cold nights when you'd kiss me warm. Warm nights when you kissed me warmer. The orchard of our senses, sweet as clover in July. Afternoons, we devoured each other like ripened fruit, licking love from our fingertips. No beginning, no end, sighing tired blessings over paths newly carved into long familiar fields. In our country, there were mountains gold as summer wheat. Where and when we moved, bootsteps ringing rhymes over gray stone, our shadows stretched farther than history, eyes reflecting moonlight that shone bright as clear night winter stars. Perhaps only those birds in the air, crying east, wings carving away at sunrise, perhaps only they could sense the weather turning, clouds blown gray against the horizon, that first iodine scent of rain, our curtain coming down, and the theater seats suddenly empty. A clock tower's once invisible face now showing hot and hideous as Mojave noon. Wind-confused grasses whipped flat, the path home lost. Caught up in the storm, my north star in your hair, you'd left, taking with you that small whispering of voice which fades like the sound of horses shouldering away.
That was wonderful, Bill. And what is the name of that?
It doesn't have a name right now.
No name.
Open for suggestions.
Well, I'll have to think about that.
Fair
because
enough.
There were so many wonderful pictures in there.
Thank you.
Yes. So we have Miss Jackie Boucher. She has met with us. She is here.
Hello.
Yay.
We're so happy to have you here. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
We've sort of talked about that a little bit in the fact that you are going to be going to grad school, leaving us, and we're bummed, but we're happy for you.
Mm-hmm. Very
and,
excited.
This could be your last slam. It's a possibility. I'm trying to see Bill and you at the same time. So congrats. So tell us a little bit about where you're going.
Well, I'm going to go get my Master's of Fine Arts. I'm going to study spoken word poetry in the University of Northern Michigan in Marquette. So this will be my last regular slam, I think, as a regular member of Woosh Canada, unless I'm able to come back and visit and sort of pop in.
Right.
So very invested in what's going on, though.
You'll be a visiting poetess.
I like that.
That's nice.
I like that.
And you're going to be emceeing this Friday is what Ghost told us.
I am, yeah. Christine, Nami Erickson, and I are going to be hosting together. And we're going to have a barbecue. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. So it's going to be a little bit Mother Nature-ish there outside.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Uh-oh. Beware. Now, that sounds wonderful. That really sounds fun.
We'll have a fire.
Yeah,
it'll
okay.
Be warm.
That helps. So do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
I do.
Okay.
This is an old favorite of mine. Most days, I wake up knowing I will never be a good poet. I lack a requisite cultural confusion that proliferates the most poignant poetry of my generation. My story, a weak and far-fetched fantasy. For who could ever believe that I am the daughter of a Latin lover who traversed a river for freedom and family and to lay down sweat and blood to pave the way for a grandbaby so fair she shone like starlight. Similarly, my tragedies are mediocre ones, stories of suburbia in the company of loneliness and alcoholism and moving boxes. My mother and I speak 3 times a week to not talk about that night when she broke up with me for a 24-year-old with a MySpace page and a laugh like Weird Al Yankovic. But more than that, I lack the skill to spit rhymes that sing slick, quick, defined, and sinuous. Never a word wasted. Do you see what I mean? They're so self-conscious, they trip on the tongue or wither alone and unsung in favor of verbose and often asininely arbitrary alliterations. My metaphors aren't a raft on a river, but a blindfolded bear rampaging through the underbrush. They have the harried quality of the wounded banking left, right, then left again before howling down tangential paths that neither it nor I ever intended to take. Oh, look! Refrigerator. I lack faith in most things, and I'm cranky. I only know 3 words for sex, 2 for heartbreak, and 1 for love. My relationship with language is one of stiff give and take, a conjugal bed, rather than the first electric caresses of a stranger. And when I give these words to you, I do it with an idiotic disregard for self-preservation. I never learned to parcel myself out poem by poem, so instead, I throw myself at you stanza by word by syllable, borrowing against an eternity of future selves to balance the debt. And after the ink and the voice have dried and 10,000 splinters of a former poet wannabe are laid at your feet, they gather together like dust before the bin, the last offering a murmured thank you.
Holy cow. That was amazing.
Oh.
And what is the title?
Bad Poetry.
I no such thing, but I love it.
Thank you.
I do like that one. I'm going to miss you. So
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to go through withdrawals. So you might have to feed us a little bit at a time before you get really heavy into studies.
I will absolutely. I'll come back whenever I'm asked.
That's wonderful.
We're asking now.
Yeah,
okay.
We are. We kind of want to put in our dibs now.
I really want to thank Jackie for all the great work she's done. She's done so much of the heavy lifting for our group. We would not be the same without her, and she is going to be missed. I really do wish you the best, though.
Thank you.
We really do.
Thank you. That's very kind.
And we'll be able to say we knew her when, because I've got photos, and I've got some autographs.
Right.
And I don't usually do autographs, but I did autographs with all of you.
Makes me feel like a star.
You're stuck. You're stuck. Well, I am really enjoying having you on the show, and I if you have more or you want to think up something, I actually almost did this, and thankfully I did not, but I have this book, and it's called Non-Required Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular, there's a bunch of them, but in this particular volume, they had the first stanza of different poems, and they were supposedly the best poems of a decade. And I was going to bring in that book and just spit out a line to you, and you had to come up with a poem.
Oh, goodness.
Remember when you did that at your fundraiser? That was pretty amazing.
Those are tough prompts. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was like 20 questions of poetry, and I was like, wow. I was just sitting there just amazed, so I'm not going to do that. But if you want to come up with a word and then put a poem around that, you know, we've got some time. Got at least 5 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
So you both have to do something.
Building on the backs of giants.
There. Yes. So we can hear you more.
There you go.
There.
Better?
No, turn it more towards your face. There you go.
Alrighty.
Yes. Sorry.
That's
you
right.
Give a little instruction of miking.
Right.
I've learned from the best. I have to tell you how to do it. So, do you have any other poetry you'd like to tell us, or anything you'd like to tell us for the next month? Because I know July, this one is a little earlier than normal.
Mm-hmm. August is usually our back-to-school slam, and I'm not quite sure if we have a venue yet, do we?
I think we were hoping to do it at Thunder Mountain.
Oh, really?
Or, no, we were hoping to do it at the university.
Oh, at the university?
Yes.
Okay.
And then maybe be at Thunder Mountain in September.
Oh, okay.
Is our hope. We're going to see. And if people want to definitely stay up to the minute on that stuff, you can find us on Facebook.
Right.
And if you just search out Woosh, W-O-O-S-H, and then the letter K, we're the first thing that pops up.
Right.
And so, if you just like our page, then it's really easy to find us and figure out what's going on.
You could also get a hold of us on Gmail, at JunoPoetrySlam@gmail.com.
Yep. Right. Yes. Yes, you guys have a really good working website. I wish more people in the city of Juneau would have. I can just point and click and people pop up, and the next thing I know, I'm getting phone calls and emails and text messages, and I love it.
Yeah, we are a tech-savvy bunch, or we try to be.
We'll
find you somehow.
Yes. Well, it's quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful. So, you read poetry to me, so I get to read something to you.
Please do.
Please.
I am reading out of my Wee Moon calendar. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Wee Moon.
I am not.
I'm not.
You will really. This is. It's full of poetry,
mm-hmm.
And I do use it as a date book sometimes, but mostly I get it for the poetry and the pictures. They just have amazing things. So one of the things that I found in here that I really liked was it's this one called Wild Strawberries. It's by Anne Fillimer. So I'm going to share that with you now. I'm going back to Ohio to see the purple red buds bloom and the forest floor covered with phlox, gray sky hanging down as the river flows over its banks, staining the cornfields with brown pools. I'm going back to visit that place of rust and ruin, solvent poured out the back door of a bomb factory, crumbling asbestos, lead paint peeling, friends struggling with cancer. When I gathered so much environmental health data that no one wanted to hear, finally I had to leave. The one thing I learned stumbling over the broken brick wall of an abandoned paper mill to pause beside the cracked dam where the creek sings as it falls is how persistently spring returns. even after ice layered up so thick, breaks the branches of century-old maples, and the pump dies, and the furnace won't work. Outside, mouse ear chickweed opens beside jonquils. Wolf spiders as big as my hand leap and spin. In one April, walking beneath a stand of dead oak, I found a turtle working its way up out of red mud. June comes along the edge of fallow fields, peppering the green with tiny hearts, wild strawberries sweeter than sugar, popping one after another on my tongue. I realize we die or survive. Spring comes. I am going back to see it once again. That was Wild Strawberries by Anne Fillimere.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah, I really, they're always so very deep about political things in here, and but also, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but they're also just, you know, they have very beautiful descriptions, and that's what I like about poetry. It just tells it all, nitty gritty. So, that was something else, and so we're going to take a quick, brief break, and then we'll be right back here at Telling Tales with Ms. G, with Jack A, and Bill Merck from Wish Canadier. Telling Tales with Ms. G. I have Bill Merck and Jack A. Boucher here in the studio with me. And they want to tell you one more time about what's going on this Friday. Take it away, one of you.
So this Friday, Wish Canadier is going to be doing their open mic and poetry slam in tandem with our second annual July potluck barbecue. So at 5:30, people are welcome to join us out at the covered shelter at Auk Rec. And Wish Canadier is going to be providing the main course. We'll have hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that. And we would really encourage people to bring a side dish. And then we'll have the 6 o'clock sign up. And the 6:30 at 6:30, we'll begin the show. And if you want to stick around afterwards, we are having, you know, just sort of a little end of summer party. And
don't say that.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it.
End of the week, summer.
There you go. It's going to return. I know
it'll be
it is.
Summer again next week.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so we're looking to get together, and we really hope that the community will come out and join us. And
definitely. I think there's a strong possibility they will not be fair weather audience members.
Yeah, dress accordingly for sure.
Yes, yes. And bring a camera, because you never know, you might see a whale because you hear poetry and laughter and music, I don't know. Anyway, I want to thank the two of you, Jackie and Bill Merck, for coming to my show and telling us all about it and saying our fond farewells to Jackie as she goes off to her second life.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor.
Yay.
Thank you so much for always being so supportive. We really appreciate it.
That's my pleasure. Love poets. Okay, so we're going to say our goodnights because we have new letters on the air coming up, actually, in progress. So, goodnight till next time. This is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska.